I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. Boy, howdy, Dylan. It's almost over. 2020.
Yeah.
One day after today. And then 2021 starts and all the problems we've had will disappear.
It'll be the 13th month.
Like so. Magic.
We're going to get there. It's still going to be the December 32nd.
I know. Yeah. I saw somewhere the other day, somebody said, yeah, on New Year's Eve at midnight, the calendar will turn over to March 1st, 2020.
No, I'd pull my hair out probably. So.
Oh, man. It's been a year.
Yeah. Well, did you have a good Christmas at least?
I did, actually. It was a surprisingly good Christmas day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that's a plus.
Yeah, same here. I enjoy it. You know, we go to Florence, Alabama every year and with my wife's family. And then my grandmother didn't have a Christmas gathering this year because I had some family members on that side that had tested positive. So,
right.
So I stayed in Ripley at the house. So one of those things, but it was still a good Christmas. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do for New Year's. Probably not much.
No, I'm going to be asleep by that point.
Gosh, you're an old man already.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's
I'm staying up to midnight. I'm
usually a night owl. I mean, I'm usually, like, because with our jobs, we don't get home till late sometimes. And
right.
So, and I'm usually a night owl, but if I'm going to be home, there's not going to be games, I might just go ahead and doze off.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. Well, welcome into the program, everybody. This is Prep Rally. We come to you every Wednesday, usually, and you can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on the Twitter machine at djournalpreps. Dylan is having issues with his computer.
My mouse just quit working. So.
Just stopped working.
That's cool.
That's great. Yeah. Well, that's what you get for not having a Mac. Anyway, we've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to recap the all-area football team that came out Sunday. We got some basketball games that we've covered recently to talk about. COVID updates, of course. We'll have a shout-out and athletes of the week. The shout-out is going to be some pretty cool stuff happened on Tuesday. It's a little different shout-out than normal. Usually it's just like one person, but like, no. We had some drama on the basketball court. Can't wait to talk about that. So let's jump into the all-area football recap. We've been teasing it now for weeks, and it finally came out in Sunday's Daily Journal. Also, you can find it online at djournal.com. And, you know, these things always, we put a lot of time and effort and thought into these things, and they're hard, can be hard to pick. Starting with the individual honors, Stan Platt of Biggersville, Coach of the Year, and honestly, that was the easiest decision we had on this whole all-area team was Stan Platt.
Yeah.
Like, it was no question.
I think we were already talking about that like weeks before the state championship game.
Right.
Like, we was like starting playoffs and we was already talking about.
Yeah. And once they reached, once they reached the championship for the first time in school history, that locked it in.
Yeah.
Stan Platt, Coach of the Year. And, you know, I mean, it's not just what he did this year. It's what he's done since he got there
five years
ago, taking that program from nothing. And I mean, literally nothing.
Eight players.
To the brink of a state championship. I mean, the first time, I probably said this before, but the first time I covered high school sports here back in the mid to late 2000s, Biggersville football was mostly an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple of good players come through, like Alex Carpenter, Tojo Patterson, but they just never had a really good team. And this team, even after losing its top two quarterbacks, still almost won a state title, losing in the last minute. Mm-hmm. So a heck of a job by Stan Platt. Now, I guess he's going to ride off into the sunset, isn't he?
Yeah, he's retiring. He's going to move down to Orange Beach. His wife's already down there. Moved there like last year. And he promised the seniors group. They had 11 seniors. He promised them, hey, you've committed to me. I'll commit to you. And he went out with one more season and obviously had the season that they had. So it paid off for him. He's going to go enjoy the beach and the sun. I think he like lives on the canal. He's got a boat and everything. So he's going to live the life, man. He's got it made. So he's put in the work. So
definitely.
He deserves it.
Yeah, so congrats to Stan Platt, Coach of the Year. And then our Players of the Year, of course, we do an offensive, defensive, and two-way player. Offensive Player of the Year was TJ Collum of Walnut. Defensive Player of the Year, Tristan Shorter from Oxford. And the two-way Player of the Year, A.I. Nugent from New Albany. None of these were like shoe-in choices, at least not initially. But as we did more research, we started to, you know, reflected on the season, we kind of felt better and better about the choices. But like starting with Collum, like I mean, because you got Kai Holiday out there putting up those video game numbers for TCPS all season. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, if you go just based on the raw numbers, maybe you give it to Kai. And, right. And it would certainly be a justified decision. I mean, he's one of the best playmakers out there. But TJ, Colin, I mean, what he did and what he meant to that team, mm-hmm. and the fact that he put up the numbers he did, usually not even playing four quarters of football, often just one half of football.
Right.
So you look at his – break down his numbers by quarter, it's awfully – it's even more impressive.
Yeah, I think you did something where it was like if he played all four quarters in all the games that they played this year, he would have been over 4,000 all-purpose yards or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, and he scored 38 touchdowns this year. I broke it down ratio-wise. He had 210 touches, and he scored a touchdown every 5.5 touches.
And he came through in big games.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He swept straight at the end. The second round, he had over 250 rushing yards and 5 total touchdowns there in that game. And I mean,
they lost in what, double overtime?
Double overtime to East Webster in their season. You know, like East Webster's, we've talked about how, you know, they had some guys like Zy Ford and Stephen Betts and guys on defense that can go. And Ron Price told me after that game, he's like, you know, we couldn't do nothing with him. He's, you know, he's only 5'9", 170. You would think, hey, like, you know, he was easily easy to stop.
And he was easily the best weapon they had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but
for sure.
Even throwing extra guys at him, he's just – that's how good he is.
I think maybe even the most impressive thing was like East Union, a team that played in the 2A North Finals there, you know, in the same division with Walnut. And in that game, you know, East Union's got a stout run defense and stuff. And TJ was able to move out to wide receiver some in that game and had over 250 receiving yards.
Right.
And like 5 touchdowns in the East Union game.
Yeah.
So, like, you can put him anywhere on the field and he was going to be successful. And I think, man, that just embodies an offensive player of the year when you can do that.
He had what? How many touchdowns on kickoff returns?
Yeah, he had like two apiece on punt and kick. Maybe,
yeah, that's
or
what
something.
It was.
So,
I think.
Yeah, and 31 rushing touchdowns. So, I mean, he did it all, and he's well deserving. And like I said, we mentioned some other kids when they put up, even Caden Betts too. I mean, there was a lot of options that we could have went with, but TJ's certainly well deserving. So,
defensive player of the year again, Tristan Shorter, the outside linebacker for Oxford, actually kind of a hybrid position. And this kid made the tackles. Not only did he make tackles, he made turnovers. He had 6 interceptions. 4 of them he returned for touchdowns. That's a linebacker doing that. I know. Again,
he was almost our offensive player of the year.
No, yeah, really.
He scores so much.
I mean, it's kind of can be a safety type position because he has to play in pass coverage quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he was part of a defense that he was the only returning starter from last year. You know, when Oxford won the state title and led the way, and ended up being another really good defense for Oxford. Got him back to the title game, and Tristan Shorter obviously had a huge part in that. The whole linebacking core, Keegan Wilfong, Alex Sanford, both of whom will return next year. I think they're going to be tough again. And so Tristan, he's just a guy that could make plays all over the field. He blocked 1 or 2 punts as well.
Butch Jones gets the Arkansas State job and immediately comes calling to Oxford, and one of his first offers is to Tristan Shorter. So obviously there's Division I coaches that thought highly of him and the play that he had over the last 2 seasons.
Right.
And especially this year, being able to capitalize on those big moments like that. So he was well-deserving, and he'll be in Jonesboro next year probably doing the same stuff. So.
Yep. Then two-way player of the year, again, was A.I. Nugent of New Albany. Had played at Myrtle the past few years. He transferred from New Albany to Myrtle after 8th grade and then came back to New Albany this year. And, he played both ways at Myrtle, but he put up such ridiculous offensive numbers that kind of was his calling card. But obviously a very good linebacker, outside linebacker for New Albany, and ended up having a great season on both sides of the ball. I mean, C.J. Hill obviously is the guy at running back for New Albany, and he was the lead back. But still, they're like, you know, we can't keep A.I. off the offensive side. He's really good at running the ball and has a lot of experience doing it. And ended up with almost 700 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns on just 79 carries.
Yeah, I think that says a lot about him to be like the number 2 back in that system there behind a really good – you know, he wasn't sitting behind no scrub. He's sitting behind C.J. Hill.
Right,
know?
Right.
And for him to still be productive and playing both ways in 4A, man, like that's – I mean, that's
I know.
Just, that just speaks volumes to him. And you mentioned him being at Myrtle. I mean, if he was still at Myrtle this year, he'd have been in conversation for offensive player of the year probably.
Probably
with
so.
With the numbers that he was putting up as a sophomore and junior over there. So,
right,
you know,
right.
He's just that type of player. He's special.
He had 87 tackles, 11 for loss, 6 sacks, 2 picks, 3 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, blocked 2 punts and a field goal. So, yeah, A.I. Nugent, he's and somehow is not getting offers
from almost anybody. I didn't notice that. Like, I don't think he's got any, like, junior college or anything like that.
He told me when I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago that he's got an offer from, like, a D2 school and a D3 school. One's in Wisconsin, one's in California. Like, how are the local state JUCOs not on this kid? I mean, he's
They
like,
should have been on him when he was at Myrtle doing
what
he did.
I thought so. 6'2", tough. Doesn't mind contact.
I didn't realize that he didn't have like any junior college, local junior college offers and stuff like that. I don't know how that you miss on that kid that's in your backyard like that. So hopefully something works out before February for him.
But. Well, maybe Arkansas State will take a look at him. You know, Tristan Shorter is his cousin.
Right, second cousin, right?
Yeah, second cousin, yeah. I believe so. Maybe he can talk Butch Jones into bringing AI up. I think he'd fit in.
Choice. Wouldn't
Not at all.
Choice.
As far as the rest of the team, of course, as we've done the last few years, we picked a large school team, a small school team. Large school, of course, classifications 4A through 6A, small school 1 through 3. 12 players on each team, and it was, the large school team was tough to make those cuts. It was, like, painful, man. I'm like, this kid needs to be on there, but we can't go past 12.
Oh, well, yeah.
And the small school team was pretty tough, too, but I felt like the large school team was tougher.
Yeah.
Small school team, we had Stephen Betts of East Webster, Goldman Butler of Bickersville, T.J. Collum of Walnut, Shamar Crawford of Houston, Jay Hampton of Amory, Joseph Harper of Baldwin, John Avery Harrod of TCPS, as well as his teammate Kai Holiday. Hunter Jones, the Amory quarterback, J.D. Nanny, the Boonville tight end and linebacker, Colton Plunk of East Union, and Marcus Thomas of Nettleton. So those are your small school selections. Large school selections, Luke Altmeyer, the quarterback at Starkville, now is signed with Ole Miss. Caden Betts of Corinth, Tay Chandler of Itawamba AHS, C.J. Hill, we mentioned him, the running back from New Albany, and, of course, A.I. Nugent. Jalen Rush, the D-tackle from West Point, Alex Sanford of Oxford, Tristan Shorter of Oxford, Isaac Smith of Itawamba, Brendan Tolles, and Mario Wilborn, both of Lafayette, and then Cameron Young, the running back from West Point. I mean, that's a group I'd put up against anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to – if you told me I could start my team with those 12 –
Mm-hmm. Either 12.
Yeah, any of the small schools. You know, I think even when you look at those small school guys, I think any of those 12 could start on 4 and 4 through 6A teams.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, they're that good. So
I think so, too. Let's move on to some basketball. And, again, you can find the all-area selections and whatnot in Sunday's Journal from this past week or at djournal.com. Okay, basketball. North Pontotoc girls and Ingomar girls. Earlier this week, you were there. Mm-hmm. Dylan, that was Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. North Pontotoc gets the win. Shamaya Hadley, big second half. What, 16 points after halftime?
Yeah, 16 points after half, 22 for the game, 8 rebounds, 6 steals, just all over the place, doing it all. I think that's something, you know, she was hurt last year, and that hurt North Pontotoc's chances. Obviously, they were in a tough division with Tisch County and Ripley same year and missing Hadley and missing other players and stuff too. So they had a rough go at it last year, but they're doing big things this year, and it's all on Hadley right now. She's a playmaker.
Yeah, I mean, Maddie Guerin, of course, is obviously a big part. And when I saw them play Newsite last week, she was limited because of the allergy reaction she had, an allergic reaction. But how did she look the other night?
She looked good. She, you know, started the game, played probably – I'd say the majority of the game. She finished with 12 points, 5 rebounds, and Macy Thomas, another role player there at North Pontotoc, had 10 points in the first half.
She's a good little point guard.
Yeah,
I like her.
Yeah, she hit like 2 or 3 threes, kind of stretched out, and that kind of opened things up for Hadley to kind of go and do her thing because she's lethal off the bounce. I mean, she can get to the rim just about against anybody, you know, and she's a bigger body and just – gets where she wants to and makes those floaters and layups and stuff, makes it look pretty easy. But, yeah, North Pontotoc was able to kind of, you know, Macy gave him that lead. Thomas gave him that lead early, but then Ingomar answered in the second quarter. Kaylee Johnson hit 3 threes, and Katie Beth Hall, another sharpshooter there at Ingomar, banked one in from NBA range at the buzzer. And Ingomar went into the half leading by 3, and that's kind of when things changed. Matt Waldrop there, the head coach at North Pontotoc, went into the locker room and said, how y'all feel about triangling two? And we're gonna go, obviously, trying to stop Macy Pfeiffer. We know how good she's been as an eighth grader. I think she had 27 points last night against New Albany in 3 quarters. But, we got to stop Johnson. Kelly Johnson had 3. She was getting hot. And then just keep stopping Pfeiffer the way they had. And it worked out for them. And Ingham Arnold scored 16 points in the second half, and Hadley scored her 16 and matched that by herself. And then,
wow.
So, you know, it was a 50-44 was the final North Pontotoc. So that's a good win. Ingham's not, I know they're not in our rankings anymore as the top 10 team, but they're one of the top 1A teams in our in the state probably. And they're young and stuff. And so for to do that, and to have that type of performance on a Monday night and Christmas break is pretty impressive. So.
Definitely. And then on Tuesday, speaking of Ingham, I covered the boys, the Falcons playing New Site at the inaugural Gerald Snyder Classic at Northeast Mississippi Community College in Boonville. And New Site, man, they looked impressive. 60-52 was the final, and I mean, the game almost turned into a blowout. It was a 13-point lead after three quarters for New Site, but Ingemar, you know, they're gonna scratch and claw and fight back, and they pressed and as they like to do. Of course, you know, they rallied against Houston in the fourth quarter a few weeks ago, a double-digit deficit, I believe.
They went on like a 21-2 run.
Yeah, by pressing and causing havoc. But New Site handled it a little bit better than Houston did.
Yeah.
and or they were able to hold on, I think. They got to within 5 points with a couple of minutes to go, but New Site, man, they could not really be stopped offensively, and you don't see many teams shred Ingemar's defense like they did. They shot 64.7% from the floor. Most of those buckets were layups.
Yeah.
They were just getting into the paint. Dalton Pounds, you know, 6'6", and I mean Ingemar doesn't have anybody that can match that size. I mean Zach Sugars,
yeah,
it's kind of close, but he really I don't remember him guarding Pounds.
I think probably Smithy.
I think it was Tyson Smithy
and
mostly.
He's shorter, but he's stockier.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
but I mean Pounds was just getting behind the defense, like even after inbounding on the other end of the floor, New Site would push it down, and Ingemar's defense just wasn't getting back. They were giving up easy buckets and basically transition buckets that weren't in transition, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so Pounds, I had him finishing up with 19 points, including 10 in the third quarter, which is kind of when New Site made its push to open up the lead. And they did a really good job on Zach Sugars, limited him. I think it was ended up with 12 points, and then he fouled out late. So did Pounds, by the way, but it didn't matter. But Zach Sugars, I mean, you know, he's a guy that can, you know, not necessarily going to drop 30 on you.
Yeah.
Although Tyson Smith, and Tyson Smithy apparently can too.
Yeah.
And Tyson ended up with 19 points, 13 rebounds. But they played what the coach Rick Howell called a box 13, which is, I guess, the best way to describe it is. It's like they're dedicating a defender. They're playing man defense on Zach, and then the other guys are basically playing a 1-3 zone or something like that.
Yeah.
Which
so it's not like a box and one, but it's similar with a different
kind of, but not
with
really.
Zone.
I mean, yeah. Rick himself called it a gimmick defense, and it worked. I mean, Zach was visibly frustrated throughout the game, and you know, it got him in foul trouble, and so he had to sit a couple of times before he finally fouled out. So that was a huge a part of the game plan, and it really worked well. Again, he had 12 points, 8 rebounds. And also, Joel Barber played well for New Site, 16 points. He scored the first 8 points for New Site in the first quarter. They led 10-5 after a quarter. So he played well.
He gets off to hot starts. I watched New Site New Albany, and he had like 8 or 10 points in the first quarter against New Albany. He gets going early, and then they go with Pounds and Ethan Eaton and Colton Fitzsimmons, and they just have – that starting five is loaded.
And Barber, I mean, I think all 8 of those points to start in the first quarter were on layups.
Yeah, the same way.
They were just getting cuts and backdoor passes and just getting really easy buckets against Ingemar, which, again, is not – easy to do. Pounds, by the way, shot 9 of 11 from the field.
That'll work.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One more quick game. Saltillo's boys, you covered them against West Union. Braxton Gibbs had 18 points, and now I looked at Twitter at one point. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a blowout. Then I look down a few minutes later, and it's not.
Yeah.
West Union made a push there, didn't they?
A quick turnaround, yeah. Saltillo led by 17 at the half. Braxton Gibbs had 13 in the first half, and but Saltillo played really well. Cade Ham hit a couple threes, and they were shooting hot early and didn't miss a whole ton. And West Union came out in the third quarter and kind of established themselves and finally got their feet on it. They were missing Brandon Phillips. He's in quarantine, one of their starters, senior starters. And so, you know, they got their feet under them in the second half. And in the third quarter, start of the fourth, went on a 19-1 run to go back and take a two-point lead with like 2:20 left to go in the game. And so, you know, that was impressive to see just them fighting the way that they did. And a lot of, you know, two of those kids, Cole Willard and Greer Manning, both are freshmen out there starting, putting in big minutes. And
wow.
Willard finished with 15. I think Manning had 9 or something like that.
They've always got a Willard or two over at West
Union. They got twins. They're twin freshmen. They're Luke and Ryder's little brothers.
Good grief.
And I think that's the end of them, but it feels
maybe.
Like, you know, man, there's a bunch of Willards over there. But they fought hard, but at the end it was Skylar Ritter there for South Tillo. He had been struggling all game, mm-hmm. getting rebounds. Didn't really shoot the ball particularly well in the post, but in the fourth quarter they kind of turned to him. He's a junior, he's a
big body,
6'3" kid, something around there.
Yeah,
and he had back to back buckets there late in the fourth, with 1:15 to give him the lead, and then South Tillo went 7-10 from the free throw line down the stretch to seal it. So they was able to hold it off, but West Union made things real interesting, and I think you can kind of commend them for fighting hard. So
certainly, let's move on to some COVID updates on the basketball court. New Albany's boys back in quarantine until this Saturday, I'm told. They'd already been in once before. Blue Mountain, we learned today, is back in quarantine.
Boys and girls, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, boys and girls. We've had several teams come out of quarantine, including Tishomingo County's girls, our number 3 ranked team. They played on Monday and Tuesday and won, which brings us to this week's shout-out. Man, Tuesday was wild. We had 3 games involving area teams that literally went down to the last second.
Mm-hmm.
3 buzzer beaters, all for our teams.
Those are fun, man.
Yeah, they are. We'll start with Tishomingo County, playing up at DeSoto Central, taking on Choctaw Central. I mean, one of the best.
Maybe a 4A title preview.
Right.
Maybe.
One of the best programs in the state. It's 44-44. Tishomingo's got the ball last. And then Madison Bennett, a junior guard, took a pass and was pretty darn close to the scorer's table when she let it go. And, I mean, she just barely beat the buzzer, and it went boom, nothing but net. And then it got on SportsCenter as the number 2 play of the day.
Yeah, that
which
was
is
crazy.
Pretty cool.
That's always awesome. I think the last area person was Zach Sugars last year.
That's who it was, Zach Sugars. I knew because me and John Pitts were talking about that. We knew Calvin Harris a few years ago for Baldwin had one from that half-court shot in the state tournament. But, yeah, that's right. Zach Sugars got on there.
It was Dalton's video.
It was Dalton Middleton's video. That's right.
That was pretty neat.
Yeah, so that was cool to see that on there. And I actually had a good talk with Madison today. We'll have something in the Thursday paper about that. Also have something in the Thursday paper about Sydney Flake hitting a game winner for Ripley.
Right.
They were playing
Horn Lake
at
DeSoto Central as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow, something about D.C.
Yeah, they had a good day over there.
They did. Sydney Flake hit a 3-pointer with, I think, 3 seconds left?
Yeah, 3 seconds left, off an assist from her twin sister, Skylar. And, yeah, Horn Lake scored and went up 2. Coach Willie there, mm-hmm. Ripley called a timeout, and they went for the win. They said, hey, we're going to go win this. Now Ripley's won 8 straight. They're 8-2, lost their first 2, won 8 in a row. And
defending state champs on a roll.
Yeah, they're figuring some stuff out. Got some young girls playing some spots that are still trying to work their way up. But the Flake twins are both seniors, been in the fire, played a lot of minutes last year.
Yeah.
So that's who they're leaning on, and Sydney comes up big yesterday for them. So.
And then finally, Pontotoc's boys winning at the buzzer. Gavin Brinker, a sophomore, 6'5", who, he's got a decent stroke, but you tend to think of him as a post player. But he knocked down a fairly long 3-pointer at the buzzer to beat Holmes County Central on Tuesday, 56-53. And I had a good talk with him as well, and he's like, I just trusted myself I could make the shot. He was having a good game. He ended up with 20 points. Had the confidence.
He strikes me as a kid that's got some confidence. I don't think the moment's too big for him, even as a sophomore. I think he relishes in those moments. So.
Yeah, definitely. So shout out to all 3 of those teams and those players for hitting those big clutch shots. Let's wrap up the show with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week on our male and female for their accomplishments from the past week. Female Athlete of the Week for the second week in a row, Dylan, Lily Whitley, a junior for Newside. Man, she's not careful. She's going to mess around and end up on the all-area team at the end of the season. She's been playing lights out.
She's starting to scratch her name in the wood there.
Yeah, she is. She had 31 points, 16 rebounds, and a 71-43 win over Florence, Alabama on Monday. And then the next day against South Haven, had 27 points, 4 rebounds, and a 58-44 win. Both of those games were up at the Piggy Bain tournament at Alcorn Central. She is now leading Newsite in scoring, 18.6 points a game. Hannah Campbell is 2nd at 18 a game. That's kind of surprising.
Well,
but
embarrassment of riches there.
I know that, and I think a lot of defenses throw a lot of attention at Hannah Campbell, and that and I've seen it firsthand, that opens things up a lot for Lily Whitley, and she is not, she's taking advantage of every opportunity.
Yeah, if she keeps playing like this, somebody's going to have to try to take their chances and make Campbell start beating them in the playoffs, you know, later on in the season.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to do something different, because it's obviously Newsight's proven that they can win with Whitley.
Yeah. I mean, this might be the team to beat in 2A. I still want to get a look at Calhoun City.
I haven't seen them yet.
But they're undefeated. Male athlete of the week, Chase Rose, the senior for Oxford. He's the kid that transferred in from Kirk Academy, I think it was, before the season. He had 24 points, 5 rebounds, and a 60-47 win over Bayou Academy on Monday. He shot 9 of 17 from the floor, 4 of 10 from three-point range. And then on Tuesday, he had 19 points, 6 rebounds, and a 55-47 win over North Point, 8 of 17 from the floor, 3 of 9 from three-point range. So congrats to Lily and Chase, your Prep Rally Athletes of the Week, and that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you all so much for joining us. Again, find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dylan's on there at Dylan Barnes DJ. And Happy New Year. We'll see y'all next week.